From ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Lou Adler, ABC News, New York. Listen.
All Americans, indeed all people throughout the world, owe him what he regarded as the ultimate compliment.
Just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
It is now up to the Bosnian Serbs to heed these demands.
I opened an account with my money. I made the trades. It was non-discretionary. I took the risk.
The defendant is hereby committed to the Department of Corrections of the State of Florida for execution of this sentence as provided by law.
In a moment, the people and stories that made this week's World News.
Hi, David Garner again, president of Connect Long Distance. If you think the big boys' international rates are so high that calling out of this country is just out of this world, then I've got a global challenge for you. Go grab an old long-distance bill, one with lots of overseas calls. Those calls you made to Japan, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Australia. Are you paying only 66 cents a minute? I didn't think so. Are you paying just 68 cents to Korea and New Zealand? Connect customers do. And if you call 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE, you will too. Every minute of every hour of every day. Guaranteed. Call them dollars, drachmas, pesetas, or pounds. There's nothing petty about the cash Connect will save you. So call 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE. We'll do an instant price comparison for you right over the phone, and you'll agree. Connect's low international rates are going to put you on top of the world. So call us at 1-800-LONG-DISTANCE, and from there, we'll all wave bye-bye to the big boys.
One of the most painful chapters in American history concluded this week with the death of former President Richard M. Nixon. Reviled by some, revered by others, the mere mention of his name often sparked fireworks. The 37th President of the United States died Friday night from complications brought on by a stroke. Shortly after Mr. Nixon's death, President Clinton addressed the nation.
All Americans, indeed all people throughout the world, owe him what he regarded as the ultimate compliment. He was a statesman who sought to build a lasting structure of peace.
Nixon's 1972 Democratic opponent for president, George McGovern, remembers Nixon.
What I think will emerge more and more with the passage of time is the fact that Richard Nixon opened the door to China, a country of a billion people, that he laid a structure of detente and peaceful coexistence with the Soviet Union.
Russian President Boris Yeltsin refused to see the former president several weeks ago after Nixon met Yeltsin's political enemies in Moscow. Still, Yeltsin praised Nixon's mastery of U.S.-Russian relations.
He was probably one of the first politicians to understand Russia, what she wanted, what she was fighting for.
Nixon's Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, tried to explain Nixon's complicated personality.
One side of him was extremely emotional. And the discipline front was perhaps in order to prevent the emotional side from breaking out.
Nixon was granted a full pardon by his successor to the presidency, Gerald Ford, a pardon Ford defended.
I never regretted it one minute. I knew it was the right thing to do in September of 1974. It was vitally important then to get that problem, Mr. Nixon's difficulties, off the agenda so that I could concentrate on the domestic problems that we had.
Richard Nixon's wife, Pat, died last year. His daughters, Tricia and Julie, were by his hospital bedside in New York when he died. Nixon friend, the Reverend Billy Graham, said despite his troubled political career, the Nixon family was close.
They loved their father, they adored their father and their mother. It was a tremendously close family. But the thing that has held them up, I think, is their faith in God.
More on Richard Nixon's political past from ABC's Richard Davies.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
Richard Milhouse Nixon, the only American president to resign in disgrace, accused of covering up wrongdoing by White House aides, the Watergate scandal.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Mr. Nixon left office in 1974 after the House Judiciary Committee voted to impeach him.
27 members have voted aye. 11 members have voted no.
Richard Nixon first gained widespread public attention as a young man in the late 40s, winning a bitter race in California for the U.S. Senate. He became a prominent member of the House Un-American Activities Committee. Mr. Nixon was chosen to be Dwight Eisenhower's running mate in 1952 and served two successful terms as vice president. In 1960, he ran for the White House, losing one of the closest presidential races ever. TV was one reason why. His relatively lackluster performance in the debate with a young, self-confident John Kennedy contributed to his loss. 2 years later, Mr. Nixon ran for governor of California and lost again. Angered at another defeat, he lashed out at reporters.
Just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. Because, gentlemen, this is my last press conference.
But it wasn't. 1968 was the year of the new Nixon. This time he won the Republican nomination for a second time and won the race for the White House. Mr. Nixon became the first president to visit the Soviet Union and establish diplomatic relations with China. It was an accomplishment of lasting significance and probably the greatest achievement of his years in office. In 1972, when the nation was bitterly divided over the Vietnam War, President Nixon scored his biggest electoral triumph ever, winning re-election in a landslide. In later years, after Watergate, the former president stayed active, writing books, meeting world leaders, and speaking out on foreign policy. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Former President Richard M. Nixon will be buried Wednesday near his wife, Pat, on the grounds of the Nixon Library in California. This week began, as many others have over the last 2 years in Bosnia, with fighting. The Bosnian Serb army continued its artillery and tank assault on the Muslim town Garajda. Garajda was supposed to be one of five towns in Bosnia that the United Nations had pledged to protect from attack, a so-called safe haven. By midweek, word of horrible violence in Garajda had reached ABC's Tony Bertley in Sarajevo.
It got the worst day in Garajda since the two-year siege was on. Something like 44 people killed, 137 wounded, the hospital directly hit, and it's going on and on. And of course, airstrikes won't help Garajda now. Garajda is basically a lost cause, and the Serbs can do what they want.
As that grim word reached the West, President Clinton spoke of yet another effort to halt the Bosnian Serb violence directed at the Muslims.
We are proposing to our NATO allies that we extend the approach used around Sarajevo to other safe areas, where any violations would be grounds for NATO attacks. I have insisted that NATO commit itself to achievable objectives.
By week's end, NATO was talking tough.
NATO has been asked to act, and NATO will act. Our objective is to protect the safe areas against attacks so that the word safe really means what it says. Safe.
NATO Secretary General Manfred Werner warned Bosnian Serb fighters to halt their attack against Garajda and to pull back 2 miles from the town by Saturday night.
It is now up to the Bosnian Serbs to heed these demands, or they will face the most serious consequences.
After welcoming the NATO deadline, President Clinton was asked if American ground forces would fight in Bosnia.
There has categorically been no discussion in which I have been involved or which I have encouraged or approved involving the introduction of American ground forces into Bosnia.
The NATO threat was even backed by Russia.
The Interfax news agency reports that Russia's foreign minister has said that airstrikes over Bosnia could only be avoided if the Bosnian Serbs fulfill their obligations. While that's hardly a resounding endorsement of attacks against the Serbs, it's the first time here in Moscow that an official has admitted that airstrikes may be necessary.
ABC's Jennifer Glass in Moscow. Despite military threats, as the deadline approached, the Bosnian Serbs seemed intent on a showdown with the West.
The Serb forces reported to actually stepping up their attacks on Garajda. The United Nations here in Sarajevo report that between a 10-minute period just before their declared noon deadline for the ceasefire, there was 54 incoming shells into the town of Garajda, and also that the Serbs are pressing at the north side of the city, and it seems like they're advancing, not withdrawing.
ABC's Tony Bertley in Sarajevo. First Lady Hillary Clinton faced the press for over an hour Friday. She denied suggestions that Arkansas Attorney Jim Blair had contributed money to her commodities account, which she started in 1978 with a $1,000 investment.
I opened an account with my money. I made the trades. It was non-discretionary. I took the risk. I was the one who made the decision to stop trading. And that I did rely on Jim Blair, I used some other advice as well, but he was my principal advisor in this.
Mrs. Clinton's account ballooned to $100,000 when she closed it shortly before the cattle commodities market crashed. Bill Clinton was Arkansas Attorney General at the time, and critics have charged Mrs. Clinton's relationship with Jim Blair, who was chief lawyer for Arkansas-based Tyson Foods, gave the appearance that Blair was trying to curry favor with Mr. Clinton through Mrs. Clinton. Hillary Clinton also denied knowing if money from a failing savings and loan was used to shore up the Clintons' real estate investment in a land development called Whitewater.
We didn't have anything to do with the operation or management of it. We just basically thought that eventually the payments by the owners of the lots would begin to pay us back and make a profit, and that never happened.
ABC's Jim Wooten covered the news conference.
It's still clear that she got into the commodities market with less money and stayed in with less money than most people are allowed to. And finally, on the commodities trading, she had no explanation for how, with investing $1,000 on one day, over the next 36 hours, she made $5,300. Asked about that, she said, I can't explain it.
Rwandan rebels declared a unilateral ceasefire Saturday in their fight against government troops. 100,000 people are estimated to have died during fighting this month in the African country. Bursts of gunfire between African National Congress members and Zulus backing the Inkatha Freedom Party set the stage for a final bloody run-up to South Africa's first free elections. But by midweek, a surprising turnaround. Inkatha President Mangosuthu Buthelezi ended his boycott of the elections and began campaigning for the presidency. This was his first appeal for votes.
Your support gives me courage that something miraculous may still happen, in spite of the fact that we've started so late.
Current President F.W. de Klerk promised voters apartheid was gone forever.
Never again on one inch of the soil of the Republic of South Africa will there ever be racial discrimination again.
Exiled Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide charged this week that the U.S. policy of returning Haitian boat people was racist. The following day, the U.S. Coast Guard allowed a boat carrying 400 Haitians to approach the U.S.
Before this decision, it did not matter how close you got to Miami if you were a boat person. If you didn't get closer than the 12-mile U.S. territorial limit, you were repatriated. In this case, the freighter with Haitians was spotted and stopped in international waters. The Coast Guard did say several ships were guarding the freighter.
ABC's Peter Dench. The people on the boat were allowed ashore in Florida, where they'll be considered for refugee status. Congress took a crack at crime. The House voted to spend $28 billion to build more prisons and hire more cops. The House crime bill needs to be reconciled with a Senate crime bill. And Congress decided to rid federal prisons of dumbbells, the kind used in weightlifting. Ohio Congresswoman Deborah Price says too many bad guys are getting pumped up in the pokey.
Not only is this equipment used inside our prisons as weapons, but it also supplies a means for many prisoners already prone to violence to increase their strength and their bulk.
But Ohio prison official Richard Cox says the law will hurt the best behaved and most disciplined inmates.
If I felt for one minute this would do something to alleviate the crime problem, I'd be the first to suggest it.
In a Florida courtroom,
the defendant is hereby committed to the Department of Corrections of the State of Florida for execution of this sentence as provided by law. May God have mercy on his soul.
Death for serial killer Danny Rowling, who showed no mercy on his five victims during a one-week rampage in Gainesville 4 years ago. Mario Tabota's brother Manuel was killed by Rowling. Tabota was asked by Court TV if he was satisfied with Rowling's death sentence.
This is not a matter of satisfaction. Satisfaction would be if my brother walked in through those doors right now.
Walking out of jail is what's worrying some residents of Warwick, Rhode Island. On his 21st birthday this October, Craig Price will be a free man, even though he killed four of his neighbors. About 2,000 people raised money to buy national radio and TV ads, warning us about Craig Price's fall release. Kevin Collins is Warwick's police chief.
We just want people everywhere across this country to have a chance against this predator. We just know that as soon as he exits the training school, the search for new victims begins.
There were wild swings on Wall Street this week after the Federal Reserve raised short-term interest rates and several major banks raised their prime rate. Economist Ken Goldstein says the rate hikes will cost consumers money.
The increases in interest rates are not catastrophic. They're going up, which means that in time, not right away, it's going to cost a little more for a mortgage. It's going to cost a little more to borrow money to buy a car. But it's not going to go through the roof.
For the week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down just under 13 points. The Japanese ruling coalition chose Foreign Minister Tsutomu Hatta as its candidate for Prime Minister.
Hatta, in his post as Foreign Minister, has become a familiar face to U.S. politicians and will likely be in favor of some of the reforms that Washington has been pushing for. In fact, he met with visiting U.S. Defense Secretary William Perry, and they reconfirmed that the international community should take a firm stance against North Korean nuclear development.
Defense Secretary Perry was in Japan after visiting South Korea, where he said that communist North Korea is very close to building several nuclear bombs.
Within weeks, it will be necessary for the North Koreans to remove the fuel, which is now in their 25-megawatt reactor. Fuel would provide sufficient plutonium to make four or five nuclear bombs.
Congressman Dan Rostenkowski dropped a bomb of his own this week. The powerful member of the House Ways and Means Committee supports the Clinton health plan, but said Americans will have to fork over more money in the form of taxes for the plan to work.
Broad tax increases may be required, and everyone may have to make a tangible contribution to finance this program. Obviously, we'll try to keep this amount to an absolute minimum.
In medical news, ABC's Jackie Judd describes the frustration voiced by doctors at an international conference on breast cancer.
Breast cancer experts came to Bruges, Belgium to challenge the conventional wisdom. They said progress in battling the disease has reached a plateau and the old ways must yield to a new agenda. A leading American authority, Dr. Craig Henderson, said his hopes for chemotherapy as a cure haven't been realized and that controlling cancer cells instead of killing them should now be emphasized in medical research. Another American, Dr. Susan Love, criticized doctors for overemphasizing the value of mammograms and self-exams. Both Love and Henderson said to a certain degree, women have been ill-served and overpromised.
There was better news out of Philadelphia. Researchers at Thomas Jefferson University found a synthetic material injected into mice stopped a disease similar to multiple sclerosis from spreading.
The 250,000 Americans with multiple sclerosis will be very interested in this research on laboratory mice, but it may be years before it will apply to humans. Working on the theory that MS is caused when the body's immune system attacks the insulation around nerve fibers, researchers used computers to design a special drug that would fool immune cells from overreacting. Without the drug, 3 out of 4 mice showed symptoms. With the new drug, that was cut to 1 out of 5 mice.
ABC's Sheila Cast. A medical mystery survives the death of a California woman. Listen to this from ABC's Brian Rooney.
Gloria Ramirez was buried 2 months after she died, with no explanation for how she died and what caused 6 medical workers to fall ill while she was treated in the emergency room of Riverside General Hospital. One doctor who spent now has a condition in which the bones in her knees are dying. Doctors said Ramirez's body gave off fumes and there were crystals in her blood. But so far, 2 autopsies and a series of tests have not explained what happened. Brian Rooney, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A perfect landing for the space shuttle.
There's the parachute, out and clear, and the nose gear on the ground. Shuttle Endeavour back on the ground at Edwards Air Force Base, having traveled 4.7 million miles in 11 days.
ABC science editor Jim Slade. We Earthlings may not be alone. Astronomers from Penn State say that for the first time, they found evidence of planets existing outside our solar system. Alexander Volshan was on the discovery team.
It is quite possible that this discovery means that planets are quite common in the universe, and this is something that we have been very curious about for a long, long time, and this is actually what has stimulated the ongoing searches for planets on other stars.
Michael Fay will be seeing stars if the government of Singapore has its way. Fay's the 18-year-old American who confessed to vandalizing cars in Singapore. A court sentenced him to be struck on his buttock several times with a rattan cane, a punishment so painful he'll be scarred for life. A parliament member from Singapore went on national TV here in the States this week to defend the sentence.
Is it right for a government to protect society against acts of vandalism, acts of wanton damage of property? If the answer is yes, and I think it clearly must be yes, then what we've done is right.
It wasn't the going-away party Frank Kelso had expected. Seven female members of the Senate tried to strip the retiring admiral of two of his four stars for his role in the Tailhook Convention scandal. Kelso acknowledged his presence on the floor of a Las Vegas hotel where aviators were sexually abusing women, but Kelso denied witnessing any of the abuse. The Senate eventually voted to let Kelso keep all four stars and the higher pension they provide. But Illinois Senator Carol Mosley Braun warned of a new era in the Senate on sexual abuse issues.
It's no accident that all of the women of this chamber are of one mind about this issue. That is no accident.
A top aide to controversial black leader Louis Farrakhan provoked outrage among some crime victims and their families. Khalid Muhammad told a gathering at Howard University that the black man who shot six people dead and wounded 19 others aboard a Long Island Railroad train was doing God's work.
God spoke to Colin Ferguson and said, I want you to catch the Long Island train today. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again.
All the shooting victims were fair-skinned. There was a glimmer of hope in the three-week-old strike by Teamster truckers. Both sides agreed to federal mediation. ABC's Tony Sargent tells us where the two sides are stuck.
The biggest stumbling block seems to be how much trucking firms can use part-time workers to load trucks. Well, they want to pay them quite a bit less and give them fewer benefits than union truck drivers get.
Was it a Hollywood hoax? We may know the answer when World News This Week continues after this.
October 14th, 1987. A small child has been lost in an abandoned well in Midland, Texas.
Baby Jessica, they've gotten close enough.
Minutes become hours. The entire country waits and hopes and prays.
The rescue team is finally...
No country comes to the aid of a child the way we do. Yet today, millions of children are being lost. Lost in an education system unable to prepare them for today's competitive world. But the real tragedy is that a lot of these children will never live up to their promise. The world is changing. America is changing. And more schools have to change to keep up. Imagine if the same effort that went into saving that child in Texas went into keeping the promise that every child in America gets the best education so that every child can have a future. Call 1-800-96-PROMISE for information on changing the schools in your community. A message from the Education Excellence Partnership and the Ad Council.
Hollywood cast a skeptical eye this week on Roseanne Arnold after the TV star filed divorce papers against husband Tom. ABC's Jane Platt notes the Arnolds are notorious publicity seekers.
The Arnolds grabbed some splashy headlines recently when they announced plans to take part in a three-way marriage with their assistant, Kim Silva. This latest blow-up reportedly involved an argument over Silva. The Arnolds have said it was just a publicity stunt, but there's speculation that Roseanne was unhappy with the setup.
By week's end, a publicly contrite Tom Arnold had apparently convinced his wife to drop her suit and take him back. And the new heavyweight champion is... Michael Moorer.
I thought that I was winning a fight due to my jab, and I knew he was fighting in spurts, but I stayed to my game plan, and I came out and did it.
Moorer, an 11-5 underdog, defeated Evander Holyfield to win the World Boxing Association and International Boxing Federation's heavyweight titles. And finally, proof that technology can improve life. Ed Kelly of Warminster, Pennsylvania, has devised a machine that turns potato meal into French fries while you wait.
We lower it into the oil, we cook it, we take it out of the oil, we allow the oil to drip from the basket, we bring it to the dispense station, and we drop 32 golden fries into a cup for the customer.
Taste?
The best tribute that was made to the fries is one of the women that work here, her 8-year-old son came in and I ran him a couple of orders of fries, and from his mouth, he said they were much better than McDonald's, so that's the biggest testimonial that we have to date.
Ed promises his French fry machine will soon be at a mall near you. And those are the people and stories that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Steve Jones. I'm Lou Adler, ABC News, New York.
More Americans get their news from ABC News than from any other source.